I first learned this song, We Give Thanks, the one we just sang, at the minister's retreat from the composer herself. Reverend Wendy Llewellyn Perkins taught it to us. I loved it then, and now that we know the harmony line, it's even more fun. I'm delighted to see that it's a selection in a new hymnal supplement that the choir is using. We hope to have more of these books soon so that we can all sing from them. I think that one of the reasons I like this song is that because it expresses an attitude to life that I try to choose. I'm not saying it's always easy or automatic to say thanks for what I have, to look on the brighter side of the day, to count my blessings, but I do try. If I can give thanks for what I do have, rather than what I think I would like to have, I will be a happier person. Maybe I should sing this song every morning. I know Wendy did. I need it sometimes. The habit of gratitude seems to be lost these days. Thank you cards are as rare as a wave of thanks in the traffic when you let someone in. Yet a habit of gratitude is good for you, good for your physical health as well as your mental health. Psychologists studying the effects of an attitude of gratitude found that those who tallied up the things that they were grateful for every morning reported higher levels of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, optimism, and energy. They experienced less depression and stress. They were more likely to help others, they exercised more regularly, and they made more progress toward personal goals. Sounds like a panacea. According to the findings, people who feel grateful are also more likely to feel loved. The psychologist also noted that gratitude encourages a positive cycle of reciprocal kindness among people, since one act of gratitude encourages another. It sounds like the Random Acts of Kindness campaign. As you know, we are in the midst of our annual canvas. We started off with our canvas dinner 2 weeks ago. Now each member will be approached so that you can let the board know how much you plan to donate to Beacon in the coming year. It's primarily for the board planning for the year. If it turns out that what folks plan to give will be significantly different than expected, then the board can adjust the expenditures to fit. Wouldn't it be great to have extra money so we could do more? We could pay our religious exploration coordinator a fair wage instead of a token. We could have more guest speakers. Enough more than what we expect would allow us to have more appropriate space for our children's religious education program. Planning what to give to Beacon for the year helps us as individuals think about how much we give thanks for Beacon, how much Beacon matters to us. How much Beacon matters to me was brought to my attention just this past week. I'm a member of the Unitarian Universalist Musicians Network, and so I participate on their email list. Mostly I lurk. But last week, someone asked, "How much music do you have in your services?" It seemed their interim minister wondered about cutting the number of hymns from 2 to 1. He wondered, "How much do you sing?" among several other questions. Well, a number of people answered. I was one of them. When I composed my answer about and listed out how much music we have in our services, I was surprised. I was stunned. We sing a lot, an awful lot. And we have other music too, with the meditation time and the Good Times Band and the choir. You just need to look at your order of service. It's not like I don't look at it every week. But I realized, again, how much I treasure, how much I give thanks for Beacon's music. I have never before been a part of a church that likes music and likes to sing and is as good at it as Beacon is. I feel truly blessed. For me, music captures the religious feelings I have better than mere words, even my words. Music gives me a chance to participate. I'd much rather sing it than listen or speak it. It means we breathe together. We become community as we sing. Now, I recognize I am preaching to the choir. Oh, yes. Now, wait till you hear the rest of it. Those of you who filled out the congregational survey back in October of 2001, when you were first in the church search process, may remember that you were asked about which specific parts of the Sunday services do you like most, or do you appreciate. Singing by the congregation was by far the most important item, way ahead of the sermon. 43%, 28%. Remember that 28%. Singing by the choir was 30%. Instrumental music was 30%. Candles of Joys and Sorrows was 30%. Chalice lighting was 33%. And now that we sing it, I bet you it's way up there. Music collectively tops our list. We indeed give thanks, as Audrey said too, for Beacon's music. But there are truly many reasons to be grateful for Beacon's presence. Worship services are only one reason that we come to Beacon. I invite you to consider your particular answers to that question. What do you give thanks for about Beacon? You will have your own answers, in addition to the music. Editor and pastor William Arthur Ward says, feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. It's great to be grateful for what Beacon Unitarian Church means to us, but if we do not express our gratitude and support for it, there's something missing. As Ward says, like wrapping a present and not giving it. The Canvas Committee, comprised of Anita Hagen, Tom Poiker, and Jane Day, has thrown us a challenge. The slogan for this year is, Dare to Care, Dare to Share. Do we care about Beacon's music, the community of Beacon, the religious haven that it is for us, the social justice center that it is for us? If so, if we are grateful for Beacon's presence, do we dare to share what is ours with Beacon? Do we dare to share the good news about Beacon with other people? Do we dare to share our own abundance with Beacon? If we care, we need to, as our first song enjoined us to do, hear the dreams, hear the dares for Beacon. How many of you indulged in dreaming about what you might do with a winning ticket this week? What would you do with a big jackpot like $54 million? What dream did you hear? What dare did you hear? Well, as you can see, Al bought one ticket. My entertainment for the week. Well, I didn't win, you know that. I dreamed. I dared to think that I would open up a philanthropic foundation. What else could I do with that much money? I wouldn't know how to use $1 million, never mind 54. Of course, I assumed I would give a bunch of it to Beacon. I never put a number on it. We bought one ticket. We didn't win. But it doesn't mean that I didn't dream about what I might have meant for what I care about. Many of you care about the Elliott Institute, a summer conference run by Unitarians. It started in Washington State and is held at a camp on the Hood Canal near Bremerton. They also hold a camp at Naramata in the Okanagan. The theme speaker there last year was Reverend Stephen Jonasson of Winnipeg. Stephen has this to say about gratitude. Overall, Unitarian Universalists already live with abundance, but we seem slow to acknowledge it and recognize that our relative prosperity has moral consequences. Collectively, we are privileged almost to the point of embarrassment. Yet we lack a sense of gratitude to the past and obligation to the future. The culture of abundance is where gratitude and obligation meet, and it will blossom when we respond to life's grace and good fortune in reckless thanksgiving. I'd like to suggest that what Stefan calls reckless thanksgiving is what the committee, Canvas Committee, is challenging us to do. Dare to care, dare to share. We are pulled from all sides for our money. This we know. All kinds of good causes need our support, and we receive multiple solicitations for it. Then a hurricane or a tsunami happens, and we want to help out. So we do. The advertising industry knows very well how to divest us of our hard-earned dollars. They also know how to convince us that we need their products, and they convince us that more stuff, material goods, is what makes us happy. I challenge that material stuff makes us happy after a certain basic level. We all have to feed ourselves, house ourselves, clothe ourselves, and our children, and sometimes other family members too. There are truly lots of places we need to put our money. The question is, what do we really need? This community is one of those things without a price tag. We don't send you an invoice. Priceless. Yet, we are asked at Canvas time to put a price tag on it, to decide how much Beacon is worth to us. I'm suggesting that supporting your church is like paying yourself first. You know, that saving technique. It's one of those things that is too easily put off and undervalued, but more important than we consciously realize. You probably know you care. Do you know how much? It's up to each of us, or each couple, depending on our situation, to determine just how daring we can be. What is most important to you? The answer is in your checkbook, you know, or wherever it is that you track your expenditures. Where you put your money answers the question, what do you value most? That's an even better answer than the dreams we had for our lottery win. It's my task to help us articulate just how much Beacon means to us and to help us. Yes, I include myself here. I found that my best sermons are those that I'm actually delivering to me. It's my task to articulate just how much Beacon means to us and to help us grow into truly faithful giving. I believe that we grow into a greater ethic of giving as we grow spiritually. It's spiritual growth to understand just how gratifying it is to support our church community to the best of our ability. It's spiritual growth to articulate what we need and want from our church, and to envision its future, and especially to envision our place and our role in its future. I know that my sense of commitment to Unitarianism has grown over the years. When I first joined a UU fellowship, my pledge was relatively modest. Now that I've been here at Beacon over 2 years, I identify with it more and I dare to better support it. My pledge will rise in response to that, as I'm able, of course. I haven't heard about anyone else winning a big prize. So we will need the commitment of all of you to ensure Beacon's future. I do know that I feel best when my checkbook matches what I say I support. And so I will give thanks for Beacon and what it means to be with my monetary support over the next year. This is my obligation to its future. This is how I make my gratitude real. I close with a quote from Melody Beattie. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow.